Us. This is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and we've been looking back at the hope fulfilled when Jesus came, the first coming, when he was born in Bethlehem. But we're also looking forward, and as a church, we need to be looking forward. The best is yet to come, where Christ comes and he brings his kingdom in its fullness. And so the last couple weeks of Advent, we've been talking about the themes of hope, love, and joy, and today we want to talk about peace. And on this journey towards Christmas, I've been sharing a part of my personal story, or a personal story. And if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, let me give you like a very abbreviated summary. A couple of days before Christmas, when I was a junior in high school, my parents' house caught on fire. 80% of the house was completely destroyed, and everybody got out alive. So that's the abbreviated story. There's a lot more detail in that. And but after the fire, a couple days, I think it was one or two days, we went back to the house. And one of my friends that was in the fire with me, we walked around the house together. And a couple pictures are embedded in my mind as we walked through the house. And the first one was, there was a living room that was right next to my bedroom, and it had a Spanish tile roof. Looked really nice before, but at this point in time, that roof completely collapsed. There was no ceiling in there. There was no roof. Kind of looked like just somebody dropped a bomb in there and blew everything out. The second thing that I noticed that really surprised me was we were looking around, and if you remember, we went out a broken window. We had louvered windows, and somebody threw some equipment through, and we went out that window, and I was looking on the ground outside the window, and there was a crumpled up blanket that was laying over the glass. And the fascinating thing about this, and I've had multiple conversations with the two guys that went out that window with me, nobody claims to have thrown a blanket out. We've all said, "Did you do that?" And so nobody knows who threw it out. And if you remember in the story, we didn't have time to put on shoes, so we went out barefoot. I don't know how the blanket got there. I'm okay with mystery at this point in my life, but I was sitting there going, well, that's pretty cool that there was a blanket there. And I'm sure we didn't put it there the night before. You know, hey, just in case there's a fire and we got to jump through here, let's put that out. The third thing that really sticks out in my mind is I walked through my room and just completely burnt out. And I could see piles of, like, melted records. That's how we used to play music back then for those younger. On this kind of had a stone mantle, and I could see these nuts and bolts, which used to be like trophies that were up there on the mantle, and I mean, just things completely destroyed. And I was looking around, and I said to my friend, I said, look at that. And I bent over and I picked up a Bible that my grandmother had given me, and the cover was pretty well, burnt, and the pages were wet. But I was looking, and I'm like, that's relatively intact compared to everything else in this room. And I picked up that Bible, and I said, God is bigger than the fire. And now, just so we're clear here, I was not a follower of Jesus at this point in time. And to me, I mean, the Bible was more magical than anything else. And I was probably more of an admirer of Jesus. Like I liked Jesus. I didn't find anything wrong with him. I made fun of the people that followed him. And there was no radical change. I didn't say, wow, I think I should receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because the Bible, survived the fire. I didn't think anything about that. But I do distinctively remembering this, that there was a sense of peace. There was this sense that life was far less random than I thought it was. You know, as I looked around, I looked at all the destruction. I think, that's weird that there's a blanket out there. That's weird that we didn't get cut to pieces going out through that glass. That's weird that the Bible survived this fire. And I had this conscious thought that evil doesn't win. Evil doesn't win. And that's the reality of Christmas. That's a reality of Easter, that evil doesn't win. And if I look back and I think, that was probably my first understanding of what Christmas was really about. That evil is not going to win. And think about the Old Testament writers. Old Testament writers, they're constantly crying out to God, saying, God, bring us peace. God, we need peace. We need rescue. We need your presence in our life. And even all the way back to when the law was given to Moses, he gave this blessing over the people. Listen to this blessing. Number 6, 24 through 26. You've probably heard this many times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He wants to give you peace. And so when we think of this idea of peace, peace comes from God. It's a gift. God gives us peace. One of the prophetic promises in the book Isaiah addressed this need, that they needed a new leader. You know, you go through the Old Testament. You ever read through the Old Testament and you go, these guys were really bad leaders, like a whole bunch of them in a row. You know, like you're reading through and it says, and so-and-so became king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, that's like the next sentence every single time, or at least close to every single time. And so they needed this leader to come that would be the Prince of Peace. And they believed that God was faithful, and God always kept his promises. So they eagerly awaited for God to send rescue. And here's how it's described in Isaiah. Isaiah 9, beginning at verse 7. Or verse 6. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. Let me repeat that. And of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So this is a promise. Isaiah is telling these people that are in captivity that a ruler was going to come. He was going to bring in a new government that will have no end. It is an everlasting kingdom. And this child who was going to be born would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This is a really good resume, by the way. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So peace is not just a concept. It's not just an idea. God sent his son to be our peace. Ephesians tells us this: for he himself is our peace. Right? Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. All right? You want peace in your life? You find Jesus. Come to know Jesus. Live in relationship with Jesus. He doesn't only deliver peace, he is peace himself. And we need to understand this about the Christmas story. Same with the Easter story. It's not an escape story. Sometimes we present the gospel as an escape story. Like we're gonna leave here and go over there. And yet God tells the story where he comes to us. And he says, and I'm going to renew all of this. So it's not an escape story. It's an answer from on high. It's a story about a God who's bigger than your trials. Remember, I held up that Bible and said God's bigger than the fire? Well, I found out that God continues to be bigger than the trials we face. And that God is bigger than those trials. He hears our cries. And what does he do? He comes and he dwells with his people and he brings them hope. It's a story. It's a story about Emmanuel. It's a story about God with us. And the first people to hear this story, it's kind of a bit of a surprise who first hear the story and even their response to it. We'll jump into the New Testament. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. If you ever go over to Israel, there's this really cool field out there. They call it Shepherd's Field, and they believe that this would have been the place where this took place. This big open field, and then there's these caves right next to it where they believe the shepherds would have slept in those caves. And then this open field here. And so the Bible tells us this at verse 8. It says, "And in that same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with fear." Could you imagine that? You're out in this field, and boom, there's angels up there in the sky, and it's all lit up. I guess I get their fear when I think of it in that manner. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" This is just astonishing when, if you look at it historically, where does God make this announcement? It's not in Caesar's palace. I mean, that's what I would have done, or at least gone to Herod's and, you know, had a trumpeter, you know, "Behold, my son is born." It doesn't do that. It's a field outside of Bethlehem to a group of shepherds that are watching their flock. Tells me something. The peace of Christ is for everyone. Anybody who wants this peace, it is available to them. And there's a sense, as the gospel stories are being told, that this story of hope, this story of a peace and joy is not just for the powerful and the perfected, whoever the perfected are. But this child is born for everyone. He's come to bring joy. He's come to bring peace to anybody that will receive it. And the peace will come with his leadership and his rule. It wasn't shared with those that were in power. They knew about it. I mean, there's that weird thing where, you know, these wise men come and they go, "Hey, we're looking for this." And the guys go, "Yeah, it's over there." You know, and I read that and I'm like, why didn't you follow them? Why didn't you go with them? Why didn't you actually worship? And so if you're kind of in that shepherd crowd and you're like, "Yeah, I don't know that I'm worthy of this." You're in a great spot, by the way. Okay? You're in a great spot. This message of peace is for you. And so these angels, they appear, they're out in the field. And what's the first response? Terror. The angels must look differently than the ones that we put on Christmas trees. but the first response is they're fearful because the glory of the Lord shines upon them. And they look around, and this must be an overwhelming experience. Like, what are we going to do? Are we toast right now? Because we're looking at this magnificent thing. And the first words are spoken to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." It's repeated over and over and over throughout the Bible. Almost every time God appears or some angelic being appears, people freak out, and then they go, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." These are words of peace, right? Don't be afraid. You don't have to fear anymore. And imagine in this room, there are people that are facing painful situations. Don't be afraid. Maybe you've got that that diagnosis from the doctor that you didn't like. Don't be afraid. Maybe there's a relationship you're trying to restore. Don't be afraid. Circumstances that you're anxious about that are going to continue to swirl around. Don't be afraid. And here's why. Because the angel says, I'm bringing you good news. We have good news. We have the best news, okay? We have the best news of all time. And maybe we're not experiencing peace because we're not living out that story. We're not living out that good news. And this is good news. It's good news to the shepherds because he's saying, hey, you haven't been forgotten by God. And I think most of us at some point in time were like, God, do you hear my prayers? do you hear me praying? I'm crying out to you. And he's saying, I hear your prayers. And I've come to rescue and restore and renew all creation through my Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to begin that renewal with you. And this Jesus, he's born in the city of David. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's in charge. He's the King. He's the one you've been waiting for. And he meets us where we're at. And because of that, peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of God. Okay? So sometimes we're thinking, and I think we got heaven and the new kingdom to come. We have that mixed up with the current time. And to recognize that there is conflict. But God gives us peace in the midst of that conflict because peace comes from the presence of God. There's this confidence to know we're not alone. You know, when you're stepping into that fire, you're stepping into that situation, and God is saying, I am with you. I am with you through the fire. I am with you through the trial. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That gives us peace as we go through trials. And then this first Christmas morning, they break out in song. Why? Because this child was born in the town of David, which anybody listening would be like, okay, this sounds familiar. They're talking about a king, but this king is a better king. This king is going to bring peace, and so Luke is borrowing from this prophetic promise in Isaiah, and the angel is referring to when David was a king. Think about when David was king. There was a time of peace, and what they're saying now is that's just a foretaste. And sometimes we look back, we do that, right? We're like, man, remember the good old days? Sometimes the good old days weren't as good as we remember. But they're a foretaste. They're telling a story of something even better. Okay? King David was telling a story of something even better. You know, and I think sometimes we're like, yeah, we'll just go back to King David. No, don't go back to King David. This baby in a manger is God. You know, take God over David, all right? This is the Messiah. This is God with us. Peace isn't coming from a mortal man. It's coming from God himself. And so this announcement is made, and they're like, okay, the only thing we can do right now is just start singing. We have to start singing. We have to praise God. And it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. So if they weren't freaked out before, now there's a multitude of them out there, and they're singing and they're praising God, and they're saying, glory to the God, to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Where does he locate it? He says here. He says on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And the song ends by saying that peace will come to those whom God's favor rests. So do you want to know this peace? Then you step into, you receive God's favor. God's favor comes from being at peace with God. And the Bible, this story reveals the most important place where we need to experience peace. We do need to experience in our relationship. We do need to experience in our circumstances. But the greatest need and the first place that we're going to need that is peace between God. We get this right. We got a chance to get this right. If we're not at peace here, and you look at the world and go, no wonder we're not at peace, because we're not at peace with God. And we make peace with God, receive His peace, and then extend it here, and then have peace in the circumstances. The book of Romans tells us that the rule that governs over most of us is a rule of sin. Romans is like you start reading through and you read through the first couple chapters, you're like, are we all just toast? Is that what you're trying to say here, Paul? And he moves on, Romans 5:1, he says this: therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God because we have been justified by faith. And when we find ourselves lost in sin and our spirits are at odds with God and we don't submit to Him, and usually we don't submit because we think we know better. We think we have a better plan. And if maybe afterwards somebody could come up and see where they've done that and it's worked out really well. But the reality is sin is at the center of every conflict we have, right? Because each one of us, we have a better idea on how things we can go or how things should go. But Christ comes in and He gives us peace. He offers us peace. And it's not just personal peace, because sometimes we stop there, right? We're like, okay, I'm at peace with God. That's cool. I got my ticket out of here, my escape. But it has a cosmic dimension. God is coming to restore all things. And He has begun with us. He has begun with the church. And He's going to establish His kingdom on earth. That's what Revelation 21 tells us, that He's going to renew all things. And this birth of the promised King is coming into the world to make things new. And this peace that you and I find, we find it by submitting it to this King. And when we submit that, that reorients our hearts and makes us friends with God. And you know what happens in that? Because I know when I first became a Christian, I'm like, man, everything's going to be good now. And I look and I go, everything didn't change. The circumstances around me were the same. But what I started to realize is that God was with me in those circumstances. God was with me in the chaos. And one day, that change that has taken place in our hearts is going to take place everywhere. That's what Revelation tells us. Now, after the fire, I had not thought about that moment where I held up that Bible. I hadn't thought about that for probably 2 years. About 2 years later, I was sitting in my brother's living room, and my brother wasn't there. He was away at school at the time when the fire took place. But I was in my brother's living room, and he asked me one night. He and I had some theological discussions and debates. And he asked me one evening, he said, do you know where you're spending eternity? And I said, I don't know, nor does anybody else on the planet. They don't know that answer. And he said, do you care if I share some scripture with you? And he opened up a Bible, probably the first time I saw a Bible open since I was in that burnt out room there. And he opened up the Bible. And he read this to me. He said, whoever has the Son of Life has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And man, I had some good arguments right up until then. And I really wasn't sure. I'm like, what does this mean? If you have the Son, you have this. And I knew a couple things pretty clearly. Whatever that meant, to have the Son, I didn't have the Son. And so the next night we went to church together, and the preacher at the church, of all things, talked about having peace with God. And I sat there with my brother as they did one of those old-fashioned altar calls. And I sat there with my brother. And I said, is this what you're talking about right here, with what that guy just talked about? And he said, yes. And so I sat there a little while longer as they sang the last hymn another three or four times. But that evening, 2 years after that fire, I said, well, I'm gonna go up there and pray. You come with me, and my brother came and prayed with me and some others, and I just prayed. I said, God, whatever that guy talked about Christ coming to save us from our sins, I want that. And I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Come and save me. And I mean, that was basically the gist of the prayer, and most of the theology I knew. And but after praying, I had that flashback, and I thought, the God that saved me from that fire has saved me from sin. That God saved me from the penalty of sin. And in fact, I remember after the fire for some time thinking, there were so many opportunities to die in that fire. And I just thought, why did I live through that fire? You know, and at the time I thought it was like lame things, because God wants me to play football next year, or, you know, whatever. And in this moment, I said, God, you saved me from that fire, so I can come into a relationship with you, that I could have peace with you. And what I would later discover is that same God, he has come to rescue and restore and renew all of creation. What God has begun in our hearts, he's going to do for all of creation. This is the story. This is peace on earth. Think about Christmas. What has happened is the future, where everything is at peace with God, has come into the present. Right now, you have a taste with that relationship, with that connection with God with us. You have a piece of the future in the present. And our job is to go out and tell people. We're to go out and tell that on the mountain. We're to tell about the joy that we have, the peace that we have. And maybe today you're struggling to find that peace. And I think for some, it may be because we don't have the Prince of Peace in our lives. That we haven't come to that place where Jesus is more than somebody we admire, but is actually our Lord and our Savior. And we've come to that place where we say, Lord, thank you that you died on that cross for my sins and my salvation. Thank you that you came to make all things new. Now come into my life and make me new, because I want a relationship with you. This is what you have created me for today. And I think other times, as believers, we forget that. We forget that. We're living in the past. We're living based on our past mistakes or past hurts or whatever somebody has done for me, rather than looking forward to, first of all, what Christ has done and what he is going to do, and that he has taken a piece of that future and he has given that to us now. He's implanted, he's put the Holy Spirit within us. And so peace is available to us today. And it's just a matter of, are we going to walk after God's Spirit and allow his peace to flow through us? Let me invite you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if he's not Prince of Peace in your own life, that let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day that you call out and say, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you paid that penalty. And I want to invite everybody just to continue to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to walk in the peace that you have provided for me. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that you're with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are present with us. And I pray, Lord, that we would receive your peace. We'd receive your salvation, your forgiveness. We would walk in that peace. And we would go out and tell others the story of what you've done, what you will do for all of creation, and what you have done for us as individuals. Lord God, we love you and praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.